welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. And every Thursday morning at 8:25, we talk with John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. And John, welcome to Inside the Cave. It's great to have this game week.
Absolutely. Game week at Michigan and a whole lot of other places around the country. We saw a couple of games last weekend, but now it really ramps up, and obviously that means Michigan taking on East Carolina in the Big House with the great big new scoreboards and some new lighting that won't be needed in a midday game, but some changes to Michigan Stadium, and it's that time of year. We've talked about it for 8 months now as Michigan's prepared for this season. Now we get to see what they trot out there.
And we got the Pirates, as you said, from East Carolina coming in. And what's kind of our scouting report on this team?
Well, I would say, first of all, that this is the best of the three non-conference foes that Michigan's going to face. And people might shrug that off and say, well, that's not saying a whole lot. But East Carolina is better than some people think. They went to BYU and won last year. They lost some really tough, close games to Cincinnati and to some by 1 point to North Carolina State. They hung with some decent football programs, and I think it's always a little bit arrogant to overlook anybody, especially when you're going into a game that a little nicked up, and we can talk about that with Michigan, but. As far as East Carolina, they've got three guys up front on the defensive side that are back, which bodes well for their defense. But Mason Garcia is the trigger man on offense, 6'5", 242-pound sophomore. And he got into three games last year, but he's looking like he's the guy this year, and he may be looking to try to exploit the one potential weakness for Michigan, and that would be in the defensive secondary if the Wolverines are not up to physical speed in the first game. And that's alluding to some of those injuries that we were talking about. East Carolina, I think, is going to try and limit the mistakes, create a couple that could build some momentum on their own, and then try to, with their new starting quarterback, get some things done through the air.
Well, I know Michigan will be without head coach Jim Harbaugh, who will be serving a three-game suspension. Jesse Minter will be taking over that position. And as far as Michigan offense is concerned, are you looking? They keep talking about 50-50 run pass, but you got to believe that Michigan's going to come out and try to sustain that run game first and then maybe move into the passing game.
I would think so, yeah. You know, when you have that kind of run game, you want to, your offensive line wants to establish a rhythm and sort of assert its physical dominance on the field early on. And when you've got a couple backs, like Blake Corum and his sidekick there, the Don, number seven, Donovan Edwards, you are going to you'd be foolish not to use them. And Michigan, I think, will be able to do that early and often. But at the same time, I think they will test things out and get J.J. McCarthy set up for some throws once they draw the defense up a little bit. This is going to be an overpowering offense. I really believe that this is an offense that can average at least into the 40s, if not approaching the 50-point mark in most of its games. And we will see where that goes in the opener, but I really think that Michigan is as loaded on offense as we've seen in a long time.
John, my goal for the team Saturday is to not call any timeouts. That they are so in sync, that there's no confusion, that they don't need to stop the clock at the last second because they can't get up to the line to run a play. I want to see if they call no timeouts in the ball game and to see how smoothly the machine is running.
Okay. Well, I understand the basic premise is to not have glitches and that sort of thing. I'd grant them a timeout midway through the through third quarter to take the second string off and get the entire third string on.
to the applause of the crowd.
There you go.
Well, John, you talked about injuries. Give us an update.
Well, a lot of it centers on the defensive backfield for Michigan because the Wolverines could well start this game without its two starting safeties, and there's some question about maybe it's top player on defense. You're in a situation where Will Johnson has we're hearing that he's still a little taking some precaution with an off-season injury he had, and then your top safeties that were projected to start may not be in there as well. We're hearing that that you might see a starting safety combination of Keon Saab and another sophomore, Zeke Berry. I don't think that any of these injuries is really long term, but I think in a game like this, I think they may be precautionary, and the crowd on hand may see some younger guys step up.
Well, you want to have these injuries at the beginning of the season rather at the end. So, seeing some new players getting a start, we'll have to see how they perform.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's one of the luxuries of having a schedule that's not loaded up with Oklahoma and Texas and Notre Dame at the start of the season. And that is not to disrespect East Carolina, but let's face it, they're not Oklahoma. And whereas this could be a competitive game for a while, I think most folks feel like that Michigan is going to exert its will, especially on offense, and certainly move the ball and score a lot of points in this game. Now, what this affords you, though, if you have that kind of a cushion, is to get a lot of people on the field, which Michigan did a year ago. They were in a process where they determined their quarterback through the first couple of games. They're going to do the same thing with their starting offensive tackles and some other positions. And in this situation, if you do have some guys with some injuries, then you can get those younger guys on. Okay, let's go without extreme, fear that this is going to cost you a football game.
Johnny, if we see some of those changes you talked about to start the game, do you think maybe it's a situation of these other guys could play, but we're not going to risk it?
Yeah, I think it varies. I think there might be some of that, but I think there with a couple of them that this it still would not be an advisable move to put them on the field to start the game. I think if they were completely healthy, they would be out there. But it's always by degree, as Lloyd Carr used to say, there's hurt and then there's injured. And so, he always figured if you're hurting, you can play. But if you're truly injured, you need to take a seat for a bit. And I just think that it runs the gamut here, and they don't get too much into injuries, so we're a little bit limited on what we know and what we can say about them, other than it is such that you may see an entirely new defensive backfield from what you saw a year ago, starting in the first game. And that's, you know, that that can give people a little bit of pause. But I would say overall this defense is going to be very, very good. And what this should do is only build depth back there.
John, give me your assessment of what you think the matchup up front is, which is where I think this game is going to be won or lost. I mean, is these Wolverines going to get enough pressure on the quarterback? And so what do you think that – how do you assess the matchup up front?
Well, I know that this defensive line is going to come out with something to prove, and they feel like they are really, really ready to get some things done. You know, I mentioned the quarterback here for ECU, Mason Garcia, is a very big, lanky kid at 6'5". Michigan will come after him hard with lots of guys that really want to prove a point. You've got guys like, you know, you got your big tackles in there, Mason Graham and Chris Jenkins, and they've put an emphasis on getting more from the inside. But you've also got some really fine edge rushers, the Braden McGregors of this team, and Jalen Harrells. And I just think that Michigan's going to be able to come at them in waves, and certainly, especially in a situation where you've got some younger defensive backs playing, that you will see a lot of pressure put on. I know that they will run some things to get Junior Colson free as well, the linebacker, and get him attacking the quarterback. So, yeah, they've got a lot of tools in that front seven, and they will certainly use them in this game to pressure the quarterback.
Well, at the weekly press conference, Jim Harbaugh made it a point to talk about NIL and his thoughts on that. What are your thoughts about what he had to say?
Well, you know, he really wants to go beyond NIL. I mean, he wants he recognizes that as a piece of the puzzle in getting some players some compensation. But what Jim Harbaugh wants to do is really revolutionary. I mean, he's talking about a revenue sharing program at some point where you take these millions and sometimes billions of dollars being generated by television and other things and the demand for this sport and putting some of that in the hands of the players or the talent, as Jim Harbaugh says. And I don't know, I have mixed feelings a little bit about it, Pat, because I mean I came up when it was Bo Schembechler saying you get the granite aid and you get your room and board and you got a Michigan education and that's it, and that's a lot. But I lived through the Lloyd Carr era where Lloyd always felt like players ought to be getting more for what is a really a full-time job. I mean, they're working every bit of the off season in preparation to be able to play their sport. And now with the money just exploding in this particular sport, Jim Harbaugh says, hey, you've got to share that a little bit. You got to take a portion of all of these big contracts and move them towards the players. And I'm not sure he's wrong. It's just I think it comes with some inherent issues that you have to worry about. And I do think that if you do that, then you're going to get some lawsuits from other sports saying, hey, what about us? But I don't know. It's all down the road. I think Jim Harbaugh is merely stepped up and said, we need to have a serious discussion about this.
We are out of time here on Inside the Cave. John, tell us how folks can get a copy of the Wolverine magazine or just online.
Well, certainly if you want to get hooked up with the magazine, you can call 800-421-7751, and they will set you up with a subscription to our monthly magazine. And folks can also visit us any day at on our On3 website under the Wolverine.
All right, John, we'll be talking to you next Thursday, hopefully talking about a Michigan victory and where we go next.
Sounds good, Pat. Great to be with you.
All right, we'll see you in the box on Saturday.
All right.
John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine, our guest here on Inside the Cave.